the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis. I am here today with the one and only Carla Soans. And today we are going to broach a topic that we get so many questions about, whether we are in person, events in person, or talking to economic developers on the phone, webinars, email. We get questions about best practices for hosting site consultants all of the time. So, Carla, let's just kick it right off with 2022 planning, you know, picking up steam for a lot of people. What do you think economic developers should keep in mind when they are thinking about inviting site consultants to their community?
That's a great question, Faye, and we get it often. I mean, people call often to ask our advice on this. And I will just say, I think that it's easy to think that site consultants are really, really busy, and they are. So that's accurate thinking, but that they don't have time to come to a community. And I think that's false. I mean, they may not have time, but most of them are willing to make some time if they feel like the visit will be beneficial and that they'll be able to take away something that helps them and they can share with their teams as they continue their work. And so in terms of what you need to do in order to make that experience of quality so that they are willing to accept the invite, I think is really the question. And so I think it's mostly about asking, what do you wish you knew about this community that you don't already know? Mm-hmm. And then structuring your visits around that and get their advice, essentially, and then structure a visit around that and ask them if they'd be willing to participate. I think those that do that and kind of engage early in either a virtual session or a phone call or ask their advice at an event and then structure an event kind of around that have a better success rate of getting people to come.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's dive in deeper. Let's talk a little bit about hosting a FAM tour, right? So the economic developers have done kind of their pre-homework and they've decided, okay, we're going to bring site consultants to our community. So let's talk a little bit through the timeline in terms of how far out economic developers should begin their planning, when they should invite the site consultants, and let's go through some of the big do's and big don'ts for planning a multiple day event.
Well, obviously, the more time you have to plan, the better, right? I mean, ideally, you have a year or 9 months. That's not always the case, and you can do it in a much shorter period of time. So if you're panicking right now because you budgeted a FAM tour for 2022 and you're now sitting here in September, don't worry. You're going to be just fine because we've seen people do this and do it really well in 3 months. So you can do it in a much shorter time. But I would say, ideally, you'd have 9 months. You'd start the planning at 9 months, kind of determining what you think that visit's going to look like, kind of the bare bones agenda. You might not have every single detail worked out, but you kind of know what the pieces of the visit are enough to invite a site consultant. What time do they need to arrive? What time do they need to leave? What about are they going to be experiencing is enough to get your asks out to the consultants for the most part. And I would say right now, you probably need about 6 months.
Yeah.
Again, you can do it in a shorter period of time, especially if you have deep relationships. But if you really want to get who you really ideally want to visit your community, 6 months is probably ideal.
And I think that's a really important point, too. And to add to that is, you know, understanding what industries and what you want to showcase in your community and letting that guide who you want to bring in. Because if you're bringing in someone who's focused on food processing, but you're doing nothing in your tour that relates to that, you know, those are perceptions that the site consultants will leave with.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a time commitment away from what they're paid to do on a regular basis. And they want to come out and build relationships and to learn, but it also has to be something that makes sense for them, right? And so it's really important that as you're structuring your visit, you're thinking about what is the goal of your visit. And there's so many different goals of a FAM tour. Some people schedule a FAM tour and they really want somebody to give them advice on a very specific industry. Or some people want to showcase a very specific industry. You then are very industry specific. Some people, you know, want to do a FAM tour because they want input from the site consultants on how to showcase their assets. So they want to show them a variety of assets and then pick their brain about, you know, what would be the best way to market this? Like, what are things that you would think about, questions you would ask that we may be too close because we live here? And so you may invite different types of consultants to that type of visit, and you want the consultant to really know kind of what the goal is. Is the goal for you to better understand food processing so that if a project comes up for food processing, you may have a better understanding of, let's just say, Oklahoma City? Or is it, we need your input on how to structure our marketing better? And if we were to get a project, that's wonderful. But the goal is more for relationship building and for learning how to market the assets that we have. So there's multiple different reasons people do it. And that's really important to have like that end in mind.
Yes. Okay, let's dive into some of the big do's and the big don'ts in terms of FAM tours. So during COVID, of course, there was a lot of creativity that was going on. And there was a lot of, you know, concern for the health of not only the site consultants, but also the communities that were involved. Generally speaking, let's go back to, as the world is returning more to normal every single day, let's talk a little bit about, generally speaking, what are big do's and big don'ts?
Okay.
Or maybe go with the big don'ts and then go to the big
do's. I'm going to go with big don'ts first. And one of the things that it just happens all the time, and it's a huge don't, is trapping people in a room or a bus. When people come to see your community, they come to meet the people in that community and to see the community and the community assets. So being trapped in not being able to kind of explore is always a disappointment. They always want to be able to have just a little bit of downtime to like maybe walk in the downtown or casually take a little bit of a stroll or see a different amenity that they read about that may not be a part of your tour, but they just want to be able to see something. And so the site consultants that we've worked with in the past really frown upon like being in a bus for a long period of time, being in a room where it's like presentation after presentation for a long period of time. What they do like is meeting with multiple different people and being in meetings where they get to hear from employers. Like, there's nothing better than hearing employers talk about why they chose a certain region or what the opportunities and challenges they're having are. And by the way, it's really cool to see what different regions, what companies, you know, work in different regions and what they make and what they produce and what kind of services and technology they have. There's that added benefit of it's just interesting to meet with multiple different people. So I would say don't trap them. Do get them out to meet with actual employers. Yes. Is one. I will say another one is don't build the agenda so full of every single thing that all of your interested parties, and sometimes that's people who are elected officials, you know, you feel the pressure to serve elected officials or maybe other economic development partners or workforce partners, and you end up going and giving everybody a small piece of a pie to really make that visit beneficial to your partners. And you lose
the benefits for the site consultants in the process.
You lose that they are actually who you are marketing to. And so always keep that in mind, that it's about what the site consultants, they're the guest. They're the ones that you built the visit around. And so kind of keep that consumer in mind and don't let those voices, it can be hard because there's so much pressure, but don't let those voices impact your ability to make really good decisions about how you structure the event. And certainly don't pack it so full that you strip away break time. Like, always honor break time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you give them an agenda and you said, we're going to take a 15-minute break at about this time, the likelihood is that some point during the day, they've had to text somebody and say, I have a break at, let's say, 10:15, and I'll call you then. And so just honor those break times because they're trying to maintain business and kind of keep projects going while they're with you, and they want to be fully present and engaged with the person in front of them. So they give their break time then to keep up with anything that's going on at, like, quote unquote, the office.
Yep. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind is like, it's really easy to jump to that mindset of like, well, they're only in our market for 2 days. You know, it's not too much to ask for them to forget about their work for 2 days to really be honed in. But that's not the way the business works. These are still humans with a day job, with active projects on the side. They really need those break times or designated time on a bus or whatever for them to have that time set aside so that they can be fully engaged during the times that the tour is going.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you really sit back and think about like in the seat of economic developers, how many times we can all relate, like we've attempted to take a vacation or we've attempted to go to a, yeah, or we've attempted to go like on a, to a conference to really invest in ourselves. But something gets squirrely with a project. You can't just pause. Like you have to respond because there's short timelines. You know, people need a response right away. And they're also serving their client in the same way. So they could have prepared as best as they could have and had amazing intentions of coming in and having like 2 days where they didn't have any work to do, but they could have just hit the moment where a project went sideways and then they all of a sudden do and it gets intense. So, you know, respond gracefully, honor those breaks. You know, try to just be sensitive to the fact that things that best intentions can sometimes go haywire with a project for you and for them.
Yep. And I think with your do's and your don'ts in mind, I want to just like double point out that it is okay to put people on a bus and it is okay to have them in a room with presentations. But I think the name of the game is not too long, neither of those options for many hours at a time, but switch it up. We were in South Central Indiana earlier this year with a tour, and I was with the Southern group, and they just did a really nice job switching between on-purpose tours. We were in a bus, and we saw things that were really relevant to the day, but then they also threw in time in a boardroom to look at some sites and to have conversation around, you know, what's going on in the area, what's going on with talent, what's going on with the amount of land that they have available, and being able to get on the bus, get off the bus, but not constant. And just really not like just a well laid out agenda of not feeling like you're trapped anywhere.
Well, I think a key word that you said, Faye, is conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people are so nervous about hosting that you practice your pitch a little bit more than you should because it takes away from the conversation. And so you do need to know your community and you need to have a plan in mind of what you want the site consultants to walk away from. But you also need to leave time for questions and for that conversation, because that's really the gold of these visits. Is all of your data can say one thing, but if the site consultants still have a perception in their mind, the likelihood that the company, a company that they serve, has that same perception is high.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to have conversation in order to know like what maybe doesn't make sense to them about that data, or what's the untold story about a community that would not come out unless somebody asked a specific question. And they want to be a part of back and forth conversation where they're learning and teaching.
Yep.
And so they don't want to just sit and receive. They want to be a part of a conversation and a strategy to make that community stand out. And that's why they're there.
And that's why it's also so important to bring in some of those educational partners, university partners, trade school program partners, and existing employers so that they can have those candid conversations. Carla, we are running out of time. We've got more to talk about. So we're going to make this a part two next week. But do you have any closing thoughts about in-person FAM tours?
I think they're back. I mean, people are really hungry for connection, and the virtual environment worked really well for a lot of people. I don't think it will go away, and I highly encourage people to still invest in those virtual connection points with site consultants. But I think that now is the time to start thinking about how to deepen that relationship and kind of take it to the next level by showcasing what you have and having people on the ground. There's nothing better than seeing a site consultant really connect with a community in a way that they fully admit that you wouldn't necessarily be able to do unless you physically went. And we saw that happen recently, Faye, in El Paso. We saw a group of site consultants head down to El Paso and leave just feeling like really impressed with the team that's serving El Paso at the Borderplex Alliance, really impressed by some of the assets in the El Paso area and in that region, and really excited about being able to be a partner in the future as that region continues to grow and thrive. And that doesn't happen just virtually. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to be there in person to really make a connection over the course of a couple of days. So I think people are starting to travel again and people are hungry for that connection and connection to place and partnership.
Yep, totally. And I think I want to really point out that if this is overwhelming for some folks, and if you feel like you need a partner in planning your fam tour, you know, reach out to us. It's one of the things that we do and we love doing, and we love partnering with communities. So if you are thinking about setting up a fam tour for next year, but you don't know where to start, you know, reach out. We'll help you out.
Absolutely. We'd love to help.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.